Hey, I'm Jeff Baumgartner with Light Reading. We're here in Denver at the Cable Next Gen event, the 17th one, and Paolo with Midco. And you've been with us here for many of them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's great to have you here. We're going to talk about network evolution and everything, but first off, just give everybody up to speed on Midco, the company. Just kind of like,
absolutely.
Hey, where do you guys operate? You know, size.
We're a mid-tier operator operating in the Midwest in five states. So Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Kansas. We're a fixed wireless operator along with traditional cable operator and a fiber to the home operator. We also have our own Midco SN, which is our own sports network, which is a regional sports network.
You're in the sports, the regional sports network?
We are.
Okay.
We are. Won a couple of Emmys.
That's interesting spot these days.
It is.
So, but we're going to talk a little bit about the network, right? Particularly around HFC.
Okay.
And like what your network evolution plan is underway. You know, I thought you did a great job today kind of sizing up where you are. But if you had to boil it down, kind of where, you know, I know that you initially were looking at it around, was it 2021? Or I don't know if I had the year right.
Okay.
But
yeah,
we
have an initiative, a corporate initiative called Fiber Forward, and it's really to upgrade the plan to the next generation network. So for brownfield, we're looking at mid splits today. We're trialing high splits today, also in brownfield. So, and then for greenfield, we're doing fiber to the premise, fiber to the home. Now, couple that initiative with a lot of the state and federal funding that's coming on. So a lot of synergies there. So we're building, obviously, as part of those grants and whatnot, fiber to the home in those areas too. So it's a five-year programmatic internal program. By 2028, we'll have about a third on mid splits, remote PHY, and then a third high splits, and then the other third, fiber to the home.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as far as like the mid splits and the high splits, what's the determining factor on whether to do a mid split or high split? Is it competitive reasons? The nature of the plant. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of variables, but
there is. I think the biggest variable is legacy QAM video, right? If we are able to future-proof the network, and in terms of not having to go back out there again and touching the nodes, is that if it's full IPTV enabled and there's no legacy QAM video, then absolutely a high split node on there. So we can go node by node on our network as we do this. As legacy QAM video customers peel off and they go IPTV, we'll convert those nodes along the way.
Okay.
Yeah, so programmatic that way.
All right. And on your panel, it's really interesting when they're talking about the upstream, there was a lot of discussion about QAM video, legacy video, and kind of getting off of that, going to IP, reclaiming spectrum and capacity for other services. You also talked about like a timeline, because
absolutely.
I think in the past we used to ask, how long is QAM video going to be around? And the answer was like, who knows? You know, it could be forever.
Right.
But it's not forever for you.
No,
guys,
it's right? It's not forever for us. Is that 2026 is, you know, ideally our drop dead date on there, because obviously the support and cost associated with supporting legacy QAM video, right? And so for us to move forward with, you know, eliminating QAM video and in delivering what we call bestness, which is best in class service on whatever we do, which means better high speed data. So in order for us to do those and deliver those things, QAM video has to be off. And then on top of that, there's a financial benefit too, right? Which is less OpEx and renewal supports and things like that. So 2026 is a drop dead date for us in terms of QAM video conversions.
Yeah, and for the customers that you're converting, are you putting them on like a managed IPTV service, or are you looking at working with, pointing them to like a virtual MVPD, other streaming?
So we have our own IPTV service. It's a TiVo supported backend on our IPTV solution.
Okay.
And so we are converting them to full blown IPTVs, and where the traditional set-top boxes were, obviously we're putting IP Wi-Fi enabled set-top boxes in those locations to support multi set-top boxes inside the home. And so that lends its also strategy to our Wi-Fi strategy too, right? Which is a whole home perspective in terms of Midco Wi-Fi. So we delivered the best in class Midco Wi-Fi on top of the IPTV solution on there. And so our only connection into the home in traditional cable or HFC networks is a home run to that modem, and then everything else is Wi-Fi inside the home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of chatter heading into this event was next-gen DOCSIS 3.1, and it's been like multiple labels, plus, extended, turbo. But everyone seems to like your term of DOCSIS 3.1 stretch, you know, where you can get more out of your 3.1 plant, put more traffic on OFDM channels. So what are your thoughts about using that, and how does that impact your thoughts about DOCSIS 4.0?
Yeah, so the term stretch came out of, you know, old cable lore, meaning 750-860 stretch plant.
Okay.
So now, 3.1, we're stretching the DOCSIS side of things. And so when you look at that, if you're able to achieve what's been shown in cable labs, 8 by 1.5 speeds on your high-speed data, that really buys you 5 to 6 to maybe even 8 years of runway in terms of our product. So when you look at that, 4.0, really, you would migrate only if you need the upstream speed, because you already reached the top end on the download speeds at 8 gigs. And so when you look at that is, do you reinvest that capital and build fiber instead of going to DOCSIS 4.0 and everything associated with DOCSIS 4.0? So example would be, if you do extended spectrum, you're looking at 1.8, you're looking at tap change outs, you're looking at nodes and amps to all swap out, right? If you look at full duplex, you look at all your back-end office tools along with nodes and amps change outs on those to support the intelligence in full duplex too. And so when you look at that, why not plow that capital into building more fiber, putting more fiber into the ground, because then you're future-proofing your network. Because today, 25 gig is alive and well on the PON side of things. And for us, for DOCSIS 4.0, just do 8x6, it's kind of already behind the speed curve.
So under that thinking, is 4.0 going to be a non-starter, or is it like too early to say?
It's too early to say, right?
Okay.
Because we can kick that can down the road significantly.
With 3.1 stretch.
Yeah, with 3.1 stretch.
Okay.
And so I'm not going to eliminate that, say we're not going to do 4.0, right?
Good.
But in your remote networks where there's a small town, maybe 8 gigs is enough, right? And a 1.5 gig upload is enough. And so to overbuild it with fiber will financially not be viable for a 1,000 home community, right?
Okay.
And so that's where DOCSIS 4.0 may come into play, which is that's where you would probably apply that. And we have a lot of scenarios that, you know, supporting rural America, is that we will have places that will have DOCSIS 4.0 and leverage, you know, the whole control plane being centralized and the data plane being out in the far reaches of the network. So, but for the majority of our network, you know, through competitive pressures and just demand for bandwidth, is that 4.0 may not be enough. When it's said and done.
All right. Last thing I want to talk about is the evolution of the cable service bundle. And a lot of attention is being given to mobile, right? We have some Comcast, Charter, Altice USA, Cox are in the game already. There's a couple that are working with NCTC. You got Wide Open West getting into it on their own through, you know, working with Reach. So where does Midco, what's the thoughts about from Midco's side? Is that a something you're pursuing or taking a look at?
We are. We're taking a look at that. Obviously, with the NCTC MVNO agreement and whatnot, is that we're taking a hard assessment on how does it benefit our business and how does the business model work. So for us, it's really this year is an assessment year for us to say how does that business model work. How does, you know, is it sticky enough for customers, or what are we seeing from that perspective? But I think it's only a matter of time on that, but we have to do our due diligence, and that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that and how that evolves, also with the network as well. So, Powell, thanks a lot for
Absolutely.
Taking all my questions. Great
all right.
to see you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for coming.
All right.